like to invite you over to the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Then drop down to verse 5 with me, if you will. "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house, as your church, Lord, here at Northwood Baptist Church. We ask your blessings, Lord, on your word, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we might be vessels that would be for your glory, Lord, and that we might truly be the witnesses empowered to be a testimony of your great grace. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "Manifested to Take Away Our Sins." Manifested to take away our sins. And of course, that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word "manifested" could also be rendered "revealed." It is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the world does not really know the Lord Jesus Christ like we know the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was revealed to us through salvation. Is that not the truth? I mean, we realize, listen, when God reveals himself to an individual, the very first thing that they are aware of is their sin that separates them from God. And that becomes, listen, ever so clear. And they also have this understanding too. There's nothing they can do to redeem themselves. There's no part that they have in their salvation. It's all of God. It's not any of our part. And he is the one that gives us that understanding. And by the way, listen, that's not an easy process. It is for the Lord, but not for us to understand that he's done the whole job. Our nature is to want to feel like we have to do it. And so God reveals himself to the children of God who receive him, but the world doesn't know that. And it ought to be known that God doesn't just stop at redemption. That's just the beginning point. So keep this thought in mind. The world has no clue what you and I have received in receiving the Lord for our Savior, for the atonement for our sins. That means the payment. He paid it all. Not most of it, and left some to us. He paid it all. You cannot give anything to the Lord Jesus Christ for payment of your sins. It's either received because he paid it all, or it's not received at all. And so we trust him as our Savior. He redeems us. He gives us eternal life. And then he says this, "I want you to know, not only was I revealed to give you eternal life, but I was also revealed and I want to manifest myself in your life that you might experience my great grace in a powerful, life-changing way." He didn't just redeem us to give us eternal life. He redeemed us, listen, to give us his life on this side of eternity as well, that he might live through us, that we might be in awe as we see God working through us. Here it is. Ready? The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, that glory is unto our God through the church. Now here's the question. Do you know what the church is? Is the church these windows on this building? Is the church this building? Is the church sitting in your chair today? That's where the church is at. So God is wanting to glorify himself in the church. Are we the church? Okay. Now listen, this is a hard concept, and I have to keep reminding myself of this. God is wanting to reveal himself in the church. He does not want the church to bless him. He wants to bless his people. He wants to empower the church to be the witness and the light and the testimony that turns the world upside down. Now, let me ask you this question. If you're here and you're a saved child of God, do you want to see people get saved? Let's try that again. If you're here and you're saved, right? Do you want to see people enjoy the same salvation that God gave you? Amen. All right, that's important. Now, here's the truth. Ready?
It's not going to be a bus program, and although God will use a bus program, He will use a bus program. It's not going to be a junior church program or a teenage program, although God will use those programs. But the truth of the matter is, the vessel and the tool He wants to use is sitting in your chair this morning. In your chair. Not in your neighbor's chair. Not in the position behind the pulpit, although all those are included. Don't forget yourself. It's so easy to say, well, listen, here are the ideas that I have, and we never really consider what God wants to do in and through our lives. Now, here's the truth. Ready? Listen, God does not want to use and will not use a vessel that is not fit for His use. He doesn't want just a common vessel. He wants a changed, empowered vessel for His honor and glory. The world doesn't know that. But listen, God wants to reveal it to the world so that souls would be saved. Three thoughts this morning. First of all, the things that are unknown by the world, the key ingredient, and then lastly, that we are hated by the world. Well, how's that going to work? Only by the grace of God. We are hated by the world, and yet God has sent us, the church, the person in your chair, to the whole world. But now listen, we have to understand how God wants to use us that we might enjoy and seek and hunger and thirst after Him and His righteousness. God, listen, God wants to whet our appetites to get a glimpse of our God where we'll want to see more. That's the truth. God's not just trying to give us a bunch of intellectual information. He is wanting us to understand that the Word... Listen, is it important to study the Word of God? In studying the Word of God, please listen, don't forget to study and know the living Word. See, we can know the Word of God and miss the living Word. The living Word is who? Let's try that again. The living Word is who? Jesus Christ, right? The living Word is Jesus Christ, which is in us the hope of glory. All right, so let's consider this. First of all, the world has no clue about this. Back up with me to verse 1. And look at the manner of God's love that the world does not know. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Listen to this. That we should be called the sons, and that can also be rendered the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Did you see that? Listen. Now, they know us physically. They know us in that regard. But they don't know the change. They don't know the change that God hath brought forth in our lives. I remember when I first got saved, one of my really good friends, and I told him. But see, I thought he would understand. I told him, I found God. I told him, I found the Lord. Well, the truth really is, ready? He found me. That's the real truth. But he went around telling some other of our friends that I grew up with, said, you know, George was telling me he found God. He thought he was funny. He said, I didn't know God was lost. No, I was lost. I was lost, and I didn't even know it. I thought everything, listen, I thought just like he did, everything's all right. What's life all about? Well, you know, you grow up and you live life and you try to be healthy and you try to learn some things so that you can get a good job, so that you can make money, so that you can provide for yourself and for your family and pass that on to the next generation. And then what? And then what? Well, then I guess you just grow old and then you die. And then what? That's about as far as we think. Well, that's it. No, that's not it. No, that's just the beginning of eternity that the world has no clue about. They think that's it. No, listen, the child of God knows that's just the beginning, really, when it comes to life eternal. But we have a life here on this side of eternity that we could enjoy by the grace and power of the Lord. But listen, the world doesn't know it, but here's a sad state of affairs for the child of God not to know that. For the child of God to simply see the Lord as just eternal life for the future and not life, eternal life, by the grace of God on this side of eternity. God wants to give us a life that is more abundant. Is that true? Is that in the Bible? Does your body, listen, God wants to give us a life, you and I, wants to give us a life that is more abundant. So here's the question. Are you experiencing that abundant life? The abundant life that passes understanding. I'm not saying that you don't have any troubles and trials, but are you experiencing the grace of God that causes you to hunger and thirst, and that you can't wait to open up His Word to learn more about this great grace? That is a vibrant, abundant life that God. Listen, if the abundant life is there, then we have a natural or supernatural inclination to seek Him out. If we're receiving the life of Christ. So he says, the world doesn't know anything about this. And then notice this expectation of what we will be in verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Listen to this. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Did it just say we'll be like him? Well, guess what? Listen, if we really believe that, then we're wanting to find out exactly what he's all about in the Word of God. Lord, if I'm going to be like you, and by the way, that's just a down payment. He's wanting us to experience him on this side of eternity. So, Lord, let me just find out what you're really all about. And the truth is, listen, we will hear things about the Spirit of God, we will hear things about the attributes of God, but God wants us to have them experientially. He wants to, listen, not just to talk about what happened to David, but what God is doing in our lives, that we might also understand, oh, that's why David had that confidence. Oh, listen, that's why David was so assured that the giant was going to go down. Listen, that we might experience our giants and our lives being defeated by the grace of God. Pull down all the strongholds. That we might, listen, that we might sing his praises. For what? Because of what he's doing in our lives. If God's not doing anything in our lives, what praise do we have? Is that not the case? If we're doing everything, we have no cause to praise God. And then it will just be a mere formality or just an academic thing that we do because we miss the Lord. And so we have an expectation of not only what will be, but what is even right now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the work of God's purification. Look at verse 3. And every man, this is now, this is not just in eternity future, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. In other words, realize that this work has to take place in ourselves. It doesn't mean that we're the cleansing agent, the Lord is that, but we realize that, look, I'm looking at the Word of God, and I'm seeing what God is saying about his people, and there's some things that are missing or some things that are not lining up. And so what do I do with those things? Well, I just say I can't do them and go on. And go on. And go on. And as long as we just keep going on, we'll keep missing all the things that God has for us. Instead of saying, wait a minute, Lord, I'm holding you to your word because I believe you, because you saved my soul. You gave me eternal life and I know it. And so now I'm looking at your word and you're telling me this is what I should be doing and enjoying those things. Didn't Paul say for me to live is Christ? Do you think he said that grudgingly? Oh, now for me to live. Oh my goodness, what am I doing? Really? Is that Paul? Or he said, for me to live, guys, is Christ. Let me ask you this morning, is that our life? Is that our purpose? See, listen, God wants to do a work in our lives that the world, listen, that will bless us first, that the world will see the change that he brings into our lives. And by the way, listen, John is also, 1 John has been written by the Apostle John, who also wrote the Gospel of John, and we'll take a brief look at that here in just a moment. So look at this work of purification. He says, I want you to know, verse 3, that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested, and you know, that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So he's saying, I want you to know that he was revealed to you, this is the Apostle John, that he was revealed to you to take away our sins. Now, he's not talking about sinless perfection, because as long as we're on this side of eternity, we're going to deal with the flesh. But he is talking about the supernatural power that God brings to us and gives to us that glorifies him and changes our life. Not just our eternal destiny, but changes even the way that we think. You know, I don't look at the lost world like I used to. Now, I can. Listen, the reason why the world, first of all, hates the child of God is because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing is because they don't have the Spirit of Christ. And I can see that if I am filled with His Spirit. Now, is it possible for me not to see that? Absolutely, when I'm filled with myself. And I am just one step away, if I'm not conscientiously walking for the Lord, to be filled with myself. And to really blow the testimony of God, not mine, the testimony of God in my life and give them a testimony of my flesh. I can do that and you can do that, but that's not what God wants in our lives. So one of two things are taking place. Either God is testifying of himself in our lives or we're busy doing it for him. And by the way, listen, God doesn't want our humble opinions. He wants his grace in us. In my humble opinion, this is what I think. God's not wanting that. Because the moment we say, well, let me express my humility, you just lost it. Isn't that true? Amen. So God doesn't want our humility. God wants his grace in us that brings his humility. And that's the difference. So as we consider this, this is the work of, listen, God's purification, not ours. Here's what I know that you know also. We can't purify ourselves. You'll be busy, you know. It would be like me trying to take on somebody else's person, right? Here's how it works, ready? If I say, I'm John Bach. You don't find that a little funny? I'm John Bach. I'm John Bach. That might be offensive to Brother Bach, but anyway, I'd have to keep reminding myself of that. And the moment somebody said, Brother George, and I said, what? I just revealed that I'm not John Bach. Isn't that true? And how easy do you think that would be? How long do you think I could do that? I won't make it a day, probably not even an hour. Probably the first time somebody calls my name, I'm going to blow it. And likewise also, when we try to fulfill the work of God, be patient, be patient, be patient. How long do you think you're going to make it? The moment something enters into your life, you're going to lose your patience. Unless it's God in you working his will in your life. Unless you realize, see, this is the wrong approach. I need to be patient. I need to be patient. I need to be patient. That'd be like me saying, I need to be Mr. Bach. I need to be Mr. Bach. And as soon as somebody calls my name, I'm going to blow it. Because it's not my nature. It's not who I am. And by the way, listen, the Spirit of Christ is in us, but it's not us. It's him in us is what where the difference is at. That's where God is honored and glorified, does something for us, and you and I have an occasion and cause to praise his name. Not because of what we... Listen, man, did you save yourself? Why do we praise the Lord for salvation? Why do we praise Jesus for salvation? Why? Because he did it. Answer this, how much of it did he do? Oh, you and I didn't do 5%? Did he ask us to do any of it? He is not asking us to live for him either. He's asking that we might present ourselves, that he might do his work in us. I want you to know, I am one step away from forgetting that. But God is so good, if I'll ask him, that I won't even have to worry about it, because His Spirit guides me and I can enjoy Him. And listen, I have no idea if I'm going to need patience, if I'm going to need long suffering, if I'm going to need all of the kindness, the gentleness, all the fruits of the Spirit. I don't know which one or if all of them that I'm going to need that day. We don't know that. So do you think God wants us to carry out that list in our heads? You're never going to do it. So all of those things are wrapped up in who? Jesus Christ. And all He said for us to do is to abide in Him. And if He abides in us, it's not us, it's Him. If He abides, if Jesus abides in us, who's abiding in us? And who will cause us to be fruitful? Isn't that amazing? And I hope it's a new concept, because it will be a life-changing one that will take that load off your back and you'll say, oh, He can carry the load. In fact, listen, the truth is He's the only one that can, if it's going to honor and glorify Him. Look at the key ingredient. Look at verse 6. Whosoever what? What? Whosoever abideth, like, doesn't that sound like John chapter 15 when Jesus told the disciples, unless you abide in me and I abide, you're not going to bear any fruit. That sound familiar? Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Let that soak in. I read that before. Listen. Whosoever abideth in Him, who's Him? Sinneth what? So if you're sinning, guess what? You're not abiding in Him. I didn't say you weren't saved, and that's not what John is saying. So when you're sinning, know this, you're not abiding in Him. We're not abiding in Him. Isn't that the case? I know it the moment I do it. Whoops. I'm not in Him. Who am I filled with? Myself. I am not filled. That's why, listen, as believers, are we not indwelt with the Holy Spirit? But why did the Apostle Paul say, be ye filled with the Spirit? Because we need to be filled with the Spirit. Not that we're not indwelt by Him. The reason why we're indwelt with Him, listen, because you have Him in the first place is the reason why you can be filled with Him. Because if you did not have Him, you could not be filled. And the idea of being filled with the Spirit is that you have surrendered complete control to Him. Now you're filled with the Spirit. It's not that complicated. But the question is this: do we have the faith to believe that truth in the first place? Or are we simply believing God just leaves it all up to you to take care of honoring and glorifying His name and being something that you and I are not without Christ? We'll never do it. We don't know what lies around the corner. But if we focus, Lord, You said that I want to abide in You. Help me to understand, Lord, what it means to abide in You, because in the abiding process, we have Jesus Christ filled to the top, who will meet how many of our needs? All of them. Do we have a need to honor and glorify the Lord? Do we have a need that God will fulfill His will in our lives? Do we have a need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Do we have a need to be empowered to be the witnesses of God throughout the whole world? It's easy to push it on your neighbor, and then you have nothing. I'm okay. I'm saved by the grace of God, and all will be well, eternally speaking. Yeah, it will, but we'll miss Christ completely on this side. Oh, we'll get little glimpses here and there, and we'll enjoy God's mercy and grace here and there, but not like He intended. In which way? To turn the world upside down for the glory of God. Not just because we know the truth, but because the truth is in us that the world can see. So that's the key ingredient. And by the way, it's God's continued work of salvation. So look with me, if you will, verse 7. Little children. He's not talking to the lost. He's talking to the children of God. Little children. Verse 7. Let no man deceive you. Oh, that can't be for me. Well, God just said it was. Did He not? I didn't say it. God is the one that's saying it. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. Because that's the reason why we do have any righteousness, because it's His righteousness in us. We can't do it in ourselves. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, did he not just say little children? And he's wanting them to know that if you're being controlled by the world, you're being controlled by the spirit of darkness and not by the spirit of light. Listen, if this was not a possibility, he would not be wasting his time telling the children of God this important truth. He that committeth, verse 8, sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Where? In our lives. Who's going to destroy the works of the devil? The Lord. The Spirit of Truth. It's His work. Listen, this is the transforming work and the excitement that God will, the skip in our step, the song in our hearts unto the Lord. The hunger and the thirst, this is what God wants to place in our lives that He can change us. Listen, if God's not working, there's no joy. Oh, there's the joy that's temporal that passes away. But there's not the peace of God, the peace of the world, the joy of the world, the contentment of the world. It's no contentment really at all. It's just passing by. And God says, I've got more for you. But we have to understand where it comes from. You are, and I am, because of the grace of God, joint heirs to all of the promises of God. And He wants us to have it. So, hold your place right there. And just go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 15, because it's important for us to see this. John 15. And look at verse 1. John 15, 1. Jesus speaking to His disciples, He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So fathom this thought. He's the vine, the Father's the husbandman. We have nothing to do. He's the one that created the branch. The Father and the Son, because, listen, the Father's the husbandman, and the Son of God is the vine. We're supposed to be connected to Him. He's the one that produced us. He saved us, didn't He? That makes you a branch. All right, so watch this. Verse 2, every branch in me. Are you in Christ? Let me try that again. Are you in Christ? See, listen. Preaching, real preaching, real church service is not a spectator sport. I'm not performing for you. I'm worshiping with you. And God is wanting us to hear the truth. More importantly than that, God is wanting us to receive it today. And God is wanting to enhance our life. So look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. That's not losing your salvation. That's talking about God wanting to do a work in our lives. And if He's not doing a work, we're as good as dead. Yes, we have eternal life, but as far as the work of God, there is no work. Other than just being sealed, and please, I'm not diminishing that. That's where it all begins. But just to be sealed to have eternal life is not a glory to the name of God. And the world doesn't see the light. You know what they get? They get a load of hypocrisy. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't see any power. It's not going to be us that's going to glorify the Lord. It will be God in us, Christ in us, that will share that grace. All right. Every branch in me, verse 2, that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Isn't that good? He says, I'm going to do a work in there. If you ever played a team sport, let's just take soccer, for example. In your youth, we'll take soccer. And you went out there to play soccer, and the coach never put you in. Never put you in. You practiced, and you sat on the bench come game time. For the whole stinking season, That was your experience of soccer. And you were watching people, man, did you see that goal I made? Man, you see when I passed that? And you're listening to it all, but you're not participating in it. Are you going to go out for soccer next year? Are you going to go out for soccer the year after that? That's what happens. Listen, we'll lose our zeal. There'll be no excitement in our Christian walk if we're not in the game. You can look at it for somebody else, but if God's not doing something for you, I promise you, you're not reading your Bible. I promise you, you don't have a time of praise to God if He's not doing anything. You have no desire to get excited about getting up early and meeting with God because God's not doing anything in your life. I didn't say you weren't saved. That is a revelation for you personally. Get mad if you want to. My accountability is before God to encourage us to understand God is still wanting, if you still have breath, God is wanting to use you and bless you. Here's the question, do you want it? That's where it all lies. It's on you. It's on me. Do I believe it and do I want it? Or am I just going to, you know, in my humble opinion, well, you already lost it. You're already not the recipient, going to be the recipient, because it requires humility. And here's the truth. I don't know how to be humble. I must come to the Lord and say, God, do it, Lord. Fix it. Because I can't do it. And you think that honors the Lord? Absolutely. Because then God says, I can use you because you, at least you're trusting me that I can do it. And you're confessing that you can't. You can't glorify the Lord in your power. And God's not asking you to. Aren't we glad? All right. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now you're clean. You're already clean. Salvation. You've already been cleansed through the word. You received the word. But he says now we need to bear fruit. He says, verse 3, abide. Now, he's speaking to the disciples. Did they need to get saved or were they already saved? They were already saved. He says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Then he says, because of that, abide in me. And I in you. Why? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. What are we busy doing? Trying to bear fruit of ourselves. How do I know that? Because you're failing. How do you know that? Because I fail when I try to do it myself. Every time. Every time. And then that has to stop me. Why isn't it working? Because God's not doing it. So I can either get frustrated or say, God, let me understand how you do it in me. When you fail, when I fail, it's because we are doing it in our own strength. You mean I can't please God? Not in your strength. But God can please himself in you. And aren't you glad that you could say, Lord, who am I that you've made me a vessel that can honor and glorify you by your grace? So he says, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Doesn't that make sense? No more can ye except ye abide in me. Self-effort idea of pleasing the Lord is no effort at all to the glory of God. We're fooling ourselves to do that. And it's not real. It's not, and we have no occasion to praise the Lord. But when He does it, we're going to be looking for a place to praise the Lord. We're not going to be able to wait till the next morning or that evening. We might sing praise in the car. Amen? And glorify the Lord. Isn't that the life of Christ that God wants the world to see? Not ours, but His, in us. So listen to this. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. Is he speaking to believers? Is salvation sure in the hand of God? Okay, so what does he say next? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Now, are you a real branch to a real vine? No. He's using this as a metaphor or as an illustration of what we are in him. So he says this, for if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. He didn't say that, and then you can do it. He said it will be done unto you. That means he does it. Is that not the truth? Man, I want you to know, this is liberating. This is taking the burden off and giving it over to the Lord, and now saying, okay, God, I want to see you work. But if we're too, this will be of no interest if we have no intention to prove God at his word. It'll be of no interest. It'll be of no consequence. It'll be no excitement to say, wow, I can watch God work in me. We'll miss it. So what do we find? Let's go back to our text in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, very quickly, and we'll move on. Back up with me to chapter 2 just for a moment and listen to what the Lord says. And we'll wrap this up, all right? 1 John 2:24. Notice what it says here. Ready? Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and the Father. And this is that the love of God dwells in us. So continue in the Son and in the Father. Continue. You got saved. Don't stray. Continue in the Son, looking to the Son and to the Father for the life that was given to us in the beginning. Notice verse 25 and notice the anointing. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But listen, the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. You have the anointing. What is the anointing? The Holy Spirit. You've been anointed and dwelt with the Holy Spirit, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same, listen, anointing teacheth you. Who was the one that was going to teach you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that not the Holy Spirit? Teacheth you of all things, and listen, is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Oh, there's that word abide again. You think that's important? I think so. Because God says so. That's the only reason why I think so. So you continue in the Son and the Father by abiding, and you've been given the anointing and the power and the grace to do it. You already have everything you need. There's no effort on your part to spend hours praying for something that you already have. You just have to ask God to help you believe it. Lord, I believe it. Help thou mine unbelief. You just have to ask God to prove to you and to show you how to understand. Well, I can see it right there. Is it working? Then you don't understand it. That you cannot just do it with the natural mind. Are you witnessing in your personal life the grace of God? Not you manufacturing it. That's not God's grace. That's our concoction. That's sin. Our righteousness, what we do. And that's why we cannot be graceful when we need to be, and it's not in our own power. Because it's not God in us. Listen, the extent of our grace is very limited. Very limited. My grace to my own family is very limited. Brother George, you ever get put out with your family? I don't know, you ever get put out with yours? We're all smiling. That means obviously, yes. I've got some smart kids. I really do. I don't always think they are smart, but they are smart. They'll do something, and if I'm full of myself, I'll think at least, to the very least, what in the world are they doing? Well, they're being kids half the time, and they're growing up. And in my flesh, I won't have the patience that's needed to encourage them and nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. Why am I telling you that? Because I want you to know that's where it all begins. Anybody can come to church. and look good for an hour or two. What are we when nobody else is seeing? Huh? What are we? That's what we have. We either have Christ or we have ourselves. I didn't say you didn't have eternal life. But is that what God wants? Just put on the facade when you show up to church. And then just by golly, lose your joy as soon as you walk out the door. And get upset and throw your hands and show the world, really, how full of yourself you are. That'll win them to the Lord. Aren't we doing great? That's revival when we're filled with the Lord. When we can love one another. We cannot love one another in our strength. We will tear each other down. But if God abides in us and we abide in Him, we can't help but love. Because He's love. Listen to that. Because He is love, not us. Lastly, notice this. Verse 28, the confidence. Remember, continue in the Son and in the Father. Verse 25 through 27 there of 1 John 2, 25 and 27 is the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And after we continue in the Son, understand that truth, and in the Father and the anointing, then we have the confidence. Look at verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him. Sounds pretty important to abide, doesn't it? That when He shall appear, we may have what? Confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. He says, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Does that mean that some of God's people can be ashamed? Yeah, when we're reliant upon ourselves. But God says it doesn't have to be that way. It's our choice. So this morning, God manifested Himself for His honor and glory. Do you want it? It's God's gift. It's part of eternal life. But you have to be willing to say, Lord, I want You to see You do that in my life. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne this morning. We thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, another opportunity to seek You in a greater way with more understanding and more truth. Lord, may You open up our hearts and minds to understand what You want to do and have already given us Your grace and Your power to walk in. May we pursue You and seek You in a way that honors You with understanding, that we might truly be the witnesses You've called us to be of Your great grace, beginning in our own family, to the church, and then to the world, that we might be able for Your honor and glory to see souls saved and baptized and discipled. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance, may You speak to them as only You can. That's where it all begins. But then, Lord, You've given us so much more to enjoy. May we walk in all the truths, Lord, all the promises that You've given to us as Your children. And we'll praise and thank You, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.